Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Mindong. 71 days until the college basketball season tips off.
71 days, third conference preview. We are back. Today's conference is the Big Sky. Looking forward to it. Only 10 teams in this conference, but a couple teams could make some noise towards the end of the season, I expect. But all in all, a lot of guys did leave this conference last year, so not many new additions really to worry about in this conference this time around. For those who do not know, Montana State, complete roster turnaround. A couple other teams lost a lot of good guys, so a lot of the bulk of the Big Sky from last year is gone, so we will see what happens this upcoming season with the Big Sky.
Yeah, for sure, and Big Sky, always one of the more fun conferences to watch due to the high scoring. I mean, I don't feel like they'd play defense in this conference.
They don't. And, yeah, we've seen that. And March Madness games, too. Montana State has been running it, as well as Eastern Washington these past couple of years. Could there be a new champion from the Big Sky? We'll find out in today's episode. Hint, there is an overwhelming favorite in this conference. And you have some very interesting takes that I'd love to hear you speak to the world, your takes that you spoke to me yesterday. But without further ado, for those of you that are unfamiliar, we'll do this a couple more times. Player of the year, dark horse, 10, all the way up to 1 with the conference rankings. I did get a haircut, by the way. Hope y'all like it. Let me know down below if you like it. Shout out my mom. My mom loves it, so that's all that matters. But you do not have a player of the year, my friend, or do you have the same one as me?
No, I have the same one as you. I'll let you go first, and then I'll give you.
The take. Here we go. The big take's gonna come bright and early in this episode.
There's no need for a runner up when this guy.
No need. I agree. And this player of the year is Mr. Dylan Jones of Weber State. 16.5 points per game, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1.5 steals per game last year. Dude was an absolute problem. Weber State, all in all, it was a down year for them, I'd say. No Dame Lillard pep talk helped them this time around. But Dylan Jones is a problem. I was surprised he decided not to transfer and come back to Weber State, because he was arguably one of the best mid-major players in the entire nation last year. I mean, double-double for his size is very impressive, and he can pretty much do it all. So Dylan Jones is our player of the year, and let's hear your bold take. I can't wait.
So obviously, it's been a while since I've done a hot take. This is probably the first, like, really hot take of the season, right?
I'd say so.
I mean, I said something last episode?
I don't even remember. You talked about who was your dark horse? Oh, you talked about Austin Pay, but that's about it. So not really.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, Dylan Jones is my player of the year as well. And I think he's going to be an All-American this year, whether it's first team, second team, or third team. I genuinely think he's going to be an All-American this year. And when he is, I hope to say I told you guys so.
Alrighty, you heard it here first. Dylan Jones is going to be an All-American, according to men. How accurate that will be, time will tell.
Very accurate.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I have the script, man.
All right, yeah. Yeah, you sure have the script. Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, dark horse. We have two different ones here. I will begin with Idaho State as my dark horse. This Idaho State team, they've been down the dumps. Them in Idaho. Idaho's probably one of the worst states for college basketball. No offense to Idaho. I mean, at least you have some teams like Alaska and a couple others. States that do not have teams. But, Idaho State, they did return two starters, Miguel Tomley and Braden Parker, two guys who averaged double digits last year. I think they'll be all right. They finished fifth last year, 8-10 in conference play, 11-21 on the season. Only 500 at home, which is unlike some of the other schools, but the road record was pretty poor. But I expect them to take a jump this year with these two guys coming back. So watch out for them. I have them here as my dark horse.
Yeah, and as for my dark horse, I have Montana State, who won the conference last year. Obviously, Danny Sprinkles gone as the coach. He went to Utah State, but they hired a very good. They had a very good hire in the name of Matt Logie. Before this, he was the head coach of Point Loma in D2, and in D2, he was super successful. He made it to the NCAA tournament all 4 years he was there, and before that, he was a D3 coach and made the D3 tournament every time in his previous school before that as well. So he's a winner everywhere. He's a proven winner. He retained the whole bench essentially, and got some more of his guys, and I think this is going to be a good squad heading into 2023-2024 season.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be as good as they were last year, in my opinion, but they did win the conference last year as a 2 seed, but I'll have them where I have them. But anyways, let's begin with, whoa, you don't have this team last. I'm surprised. But yeah, let's go to number 10. Number 10, I mean, I can't really say it, but every conference has a last place team, but you have a different last place than me this time around. And you have them very – why do you have them so low? I mean, I'll hear your thoughts soon. But I have Idaho here as my last team in the Big Sky at number 10. This team has been in a rebuild per se for a while. They haven't really found a jump. And only returned one starter, a little of the bench returns. Terren Frank, a fantastic player. Do not get me wrong for this Idaho team all in all. Can't really buy wins. 4-14 in conference play last year as well. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They don't look bad in terms of points for and points against, but they haven't really found a way to win in this conference thus far. I expect that to be the case once again. I have them at 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna change my rankings a little
bit. Oh yeah, thanks.
But my last place team. I mean, I don't agree with your last place team still. I'm going to switch it up.
Okay, but they're a bottom three team, though.
Yeah, and this is a bottom three team. I'm going with Sacramento State as a bottom three team. I mean, they were terrific on paper last year, but I feel like they underachieved. They have a very good coaching staff as well. And two starters and all of the bench returned. They got some key transfers, but I'm not sure. I feel like I have a hunch that they're going to underachieve once again.
All right. Yeah, I mean, hunches are fine. They're respectable, but I do not agree. But we'll go to number 9. I got Northern Arizona here as my number 9. They lost a lot. Jalen Cohen was that dog. Thankfully, he transferred out. Where did he go? I don't remember. Did he go to Gonzaga? No.
He went to Cal.
That's right. He went to Cal. But, former Virginia Tech player, went to Northern Arizona, balled out of his mind. I believe he was averaging like almost 20 points a game. But that Northern Arizona team could not find a stride. Only two starters return and some bench. Carson Taut is the big returnee here. But yeah, this team also underperformed 5-13 in conference play, second to last year. I have the bottom two exactly as they finished this past year. They're 6-8, or 3-13, I should say, on the road. Not very good at home, below 500 at home. Not a good sign for a program. And they also allowed a lot of points last year, the most in the Big Sky last year. So I have them at number 9.
Yeah, at number 9, I have Idaho. That is where I have Idaho. New coaching staff, obviously, Alex Pribble is now the new head coach. He was the assistant at Seattle University last year. So extremely interesting to see how this pans out. But it seems like he's doing a solid job building a foundation. He's already gotten – 5 freshmen to commit in a conference, I'd say that only JUCOs commit to, in my opinion. I mean, that's just what I've seen the past. That's the trend I've been seeing in the Big Sky. Is a lot of JUCO guys play here, but not a lot of freshmen. But he's got 5 freshmen. He's got some JUCO guys as well, and I feel like Idaho could be a contender 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, another team trying to move up the ranks from the laughing stock of college basketball to a legit contender. We've seen it before. It could be the case with Idaho. I'm not sold just yet, but who knows? Future has a lot of things to hold. Number 8, I have Northern Colorado here. Another team that really underperformed. They had some studs, Dalton Kuntz, We don't, yeah, you remember. We don't know how to pronounce his name still. Just remember, you remember. It's so funny. But anyways, they do return one guy, Riley Abercrombie, who I believe he came over from Rice, if I'm not mistaken.
You are right. I'm
Yeah.
surprised you know that.
Yeah, I don't know why I remember
That's
that, but I just do. I don't
kind of impressive. I
know. Thank you.
mean, obviously I would know that, but I
Oh,
don't think you
yeah.
would.
But Northern Colorado, another team that underperformed, 6-12 in conference play. I have the bottom three exactly as how it was last year. Is that a good trend to go by? Probably not, but I just have a hunch. And this team lost a lot. Very poor team on the road as well. 3-12 on the road. But yeah, I mean, another team that couldn't really find a way to score last year. As crazy as that sounds, they allowed more points against than points for. That's the recipe for a underperforming season. So I have them here at 8 with only just one starter returning.
Yeah, I feel like they scored a lot of points. It just allowed a lot of points.
I know. I
Yeah.
mean, they were, I believe they were. Let me look. Oh, I guess Sac State scored the lowest. Then Idaho State. Oh wow, they actually scored a lot, but they didn't really do well. They allowed more than they scored. But
Yeah, that's what. How many did they score a game? Like, I'm gonna get. Let me guess.
I only have the total amount. It was 23-5, 20, 23-50. I'm rounding up a little bit, but I mean,
Okay, so they
Sacramento's.
scored around like 75 points a game, 76.
Yeah, they played 32 games. I don't want to do math right now, but let's do it. So what? 23-55 divided by what I say? 32. Yeah, 73 and a half points. 73 and a half per se points per game. So, yeah, good math.
Yeah.
Good math.
All right, number eight for me. We're at number eight, right?
Yes.
We're at number eight. Yeah, I'm gonna keep switching up my rankings a little bit. I'm kind of skewed right now, but I have NAU at number eight. I don't know why I had them at number five. I think it was just a filler and I kind of forgot to do the final. But yeah, NAU at number eight looks correct. They lost Jalen Cohn, like you mentioned. He was their dog, and they somehow made a Cinderella run to the conference
Yeah, oh, that's right.
tournament final. This is a team that like invests a lot in their basketball program. I mean, if you watch Carson Touts' TikTok, which has been on my For You page, I mean, my God, they put a new $20 million facility on their basketball team. They invest a lot in NIL, and they just can't recruit right now. And on paper, that team just looks super underwhelming. And obviously, with the resources they have, they could do a lot. It seems like they should be a perennial powerhouse in this conference, but unfortunately, it's not like that.
Yeah, definitely agree. I mean, those facilities are insane. I've seen the TikToks as well.
Like they're like high major like
Yeah.
facility. They
Yeah.
look super nice.
Yeah, they're better than a lot of high majors. I'd agree. Football, I believe football too is pretty good as well for facilities. I don't know how they are, and I don't even know if they're D1 in football, but anyway, or
Yeah,
F.
they're definitely FCS. And I saw them play against Arizona State last year.
Yeah, so whatever. But this is college basketball. Football's cool, but yeah, they have a lot of good facilities. That's all you need to know. Number seven, I got Montana State here, the reigning champs of the Big Sky for the past 2 years, or at least the champs that have made it to March. They did not win the conference last year, but they were the two seed, like I said, and did end up winning the Big Sky back-to-back years. But yeah, I mean, they lost everything pretty much. Coach is gone. Some of the top players are gone. They left as well. But a majority of the bench does return, so but that's some promise there in Montana State. They're still a very highly praised program in terms of the Big Sky success this past decade, I'd say. I'd go back to the past decade. They always seem to find a way to win. And this year, I think they'll take a small step back. Very good last year, like I said. 15-3 in conference play, 25-10 on the season, 12-1 at home. I mean, they have a very good home record. They like to score the ball a lot. I believe, well, I don't want to keep doing math, but they were. In terms of total points for, they were third. So they were a top three offense, but the defense was not bad as well. But yeah, I mean, I just have a hunch that with everything gone, they're gonna fall, and I have them falling at seven.
Yeah, and seven for me. This is where I have Idaho State. Braden Parker, probably my vote for runner up in the conference. Probably the best big, easily the best big man in the conference. I mean, in a conference that doesn't really have big man, he's like one of the old fashioned big men in the conference. And in the low post, he could dominate anyone, but unfortunately, he can't really guard. That's why he only played 21 minutes a game last year. But this team is old. This team has a lot of experience in it, but on paper, it kind of just looks weak once again.
Definitely agree. And quick pause. I need to charge my computer, so I apologize for the rustle if you hear some. But number six, I have Sacramento State here, a team you are very low on. And, yeah, I mean, they didn't do great last year with – there we go. They didn't do great last year with – I mean, they had such a good recruiting transfer class. They brought in a ton of really impressive guys, and we were both very high on them last year, I believe. I can go back and check, but I will do that, actually. But, yeah, I mean, things didn't really pan out the way we expected them to. 7-11 in conference play, 14-8 in the year. But, yeah, I mean, they lost a lot as well. Akam Nawane is one of the key returnees. He came over from Oklahoma. I know that one for sure. But, yeah, I mean, he's the big guy there, and that's pretty much all they have really coming back. So I expect another middle of the pack year for the Sac State team. I have them at number six.
Yeah, I totally agree. At number six for me, I have Northern Colorado here. Like you said, one starter, some bench return. You know what Northern Colorado is going to do. They're going to run and shoot threes, and hopefully their defense is a lot better than I have an expectation that, or I have a hunch that their defense will perform a lot better than last year. That's why I have them at number six.
Fair enough. Number five, I have Idaho State here, my dark horse. They finished five last year. Oh, I was just about to say, do I have all the same positions as last year? I did not. But yeah, this team, I expect them to take another jump. They were pretty solid last year. That home record's a little scary. I mean, if you're the home team, you shouldn't be going 500 at your house. That's just unacceptable. It's your house. You got to defend your house. Shout out BC. Protect this house, I will. That's their motto, or at least it was in football. I remember that. But, yeah, I mean, you pretty much said it all. Parker, very fantastic player. He could be an all-conference first teamer for sure. So I got Idaho State at five.
Yeah, five for me. I have my dark horse. That would be Montana State. At five, that would, I'm moving things up. I'm not even like, my top four I'm going off, but my bottom six, nah. But yeah, Montana State at number five. I mentioned them as my dark horse team. Matt Lugie's gonna do a terrific job there. He's been a winner everywhere he's been, and I feel like that is going to continue at Montana State.
Whoa, guess where we had Montana State last year? I had them at six last year.
Let me guess where I had them. Four.
Five. You had them as your dark horse, though, so
see?
I'll give you some points. You also had Kuntz as your – you see, you put Kuntz was at Northern Arizona. But
really?
Yeah, it's because I put Jalen Kona in Northern Arizona, and you knowing you and your laziness, you probably just
but, oh, my God.
Anyways. Okay. Number four.
Right on spray. I see.
Yeah. Number four, I have Eastern Washington here. The team that was supposed to win this conference last year did not, fell just short. But they were a really good team on paper, and they looked really good throughout the year. 16-2 in conference play, 23-11 on the year, 11-1 at home. And this team also knew how to score the ball. They were number one in offense last year, led by Steele Venters and a lot of other guys. Steele Venters went to Gonzaga. I think that's where I mixed up my Gonzaga commit. That's correct, right? Steele Venters went to Gonzaga. I'm like 99% sure.
Yeah, he was the Big Sky Player of the Year last year.
Yes, he was absolutely phenomenal. And this Eastern Washington team, they produced some good products. You look at the Grove brothers, two guys that went into this program. Couple other guys that have done good things and gone on to do some good productive stuff at high major schools. But Ethan Price comes back for this team. is the big piece to watch out for. And they got a big transfer, Jake Kamen, coming over from Wyoming. Probably the biggest transfer, one of the biggest transfers, I'd say, into this conference this year. So Eastern Washington, I do have them a little low. I think four is their floor. I think their ceiling is as high as probably one. It's going to be a close one to get to one, but they can definitely be in that four, 1 to 4 range, definitely in the top tier in this conference still. Very good program. Their court's pretty sick. Shout out to their court and their fans. I mean, they get rowdy. So I got EWU at four.
Mm-hmm. And number four for me is the team that finished number four last year, and that would be Montana. I feel like Montana is always up there. They're always in the top half. They're always competing, and I feel like that's going to be the same once again. They're a pretty good team on paper. They play a certain style, but they're a pretty good team as well. The two starters returned. The main guys, Deshaun Thomas. I still remember him 2 years ago at Colorado State, just making 3 after 3 against Michigan. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was my team, man.
He was the fifth option on that team, and Michigan just didn't guard him. And, man, they lost that game. But, man, he hit 7 threes, and I was like, wow. Like, he single-handedly, like.
The man, for the most part.
Man, that was insane. But he's definitely going to be an all-conference player, as he's going to be the guy in Montana as well. And, once again, I think they're going to compete and maybe even shock some heads, as like they always do.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've been a top four finish for the past couple of years. I always see them up there. It's always really the same four: Montana State, Montana, Weber State, and Eastern Washington. Probably that's been the perennial top four these past couple of years or so. I expect that to be somewhat similar this year as well, with a little twist. Number three, I do have Montana here at number three. You pretty much covered it all, but another guy to watch out for is Brandon Whitney. He's another very good piece coming back to this team. And they also brought in a good transfer as well. Jordan Williams from Santa Clara comes in. I believe he's a big man. Didn't get much run time at Santa Clara, but I expect him to take a bigger jump here at Montana. A team like you just talked about, a top four finish every time. I got them here once again at three.
Mm-hmm. And at number three for me, I have Portland State. And, man, this is a team you should watch out for. Four starters and some of the bench return. They're going to be good, man. I mean, they're experienced. They brought in some more transfers, and they're just deep as a team. On paper, they're one of the deepest teams. And I see a top three finish easily for that. I feel like these three that I have will finish top three.
I hope so. And Portland State last year, we underwhelmed them a lot. I mean, they finished seventh last year. We had them at 8 and 9, so we weren't that far off at that. But I mean, they brought a huge roster turnaround last year. This year, everyone pretty much stayed, which is huge for this program. And that brings me to my number two, which is Portland State. Jarrell Statterfield and Hunter Woods are the two returners that are going to make some big noise. But four starters come back, and most of the bench as well. So this Portland State team, experience over hype. It's your favorite motto. That's the case with this Portland State team. That's why we have high praise for them to take a jump this year into the top, probably four, but hopefully higher.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Number two, I have Eastern Washington here. And did we think they were going to have a down seat? Where do we have them in our rankings last year?
I had them at four. You had them at six.
Okay. So I did believe they were going to have a down season last year, but.
Then you were incorrect.
Yeah, I was definitely incorrect. David Riley, their head coach, did prove me wrong. He is a super young coach. I'm looking up at his age right now. I can't even find it. I think he's like 30 something, but like,
what's his name?
David Riley.
I'll look. You keep talking.
Yeah, but to win at such a young age, he's gonna have a good career in the West Coast. I mean, I can envision I can't even say Pac-12 job anymore. I can't even say he can coach in the Pac-12. I can imagine he will be a head coach at a high major school in the West Coast at some point in his career. And they two starters return. Ethan Price is their key piece. Jake Kamen's a great piece. And they're also really deep. They know how to win. This is one of the best programs in Big Sky. I mean, just in terms of recency and just winning and culture.
Absolutely. And what was your guess on his age?
I'm going to guess 37.
32.
32.
Yeah.
Wow.
Second, I believe this is a third year now or second year. He's a very young coach, but he's been at Eastern Washington for 12 years. It says.
Yeah. Come since on. He was 20, I saw that. 32 is. He's gonna have a good career. He's gonna be. He's one of the bright up and comers. He's gonna be very good.
Absolutely. And that brings us to our number one team. We both have the same team, and we're expecting big things from this team. We had them at 7 last year, both of us did, and they proved us wrong. And it's going to be a big year for this team, Weber State. We talked about Dylan Jones. He's the focal point for this team. They also do bring back Steven Verplanken Jr. He's also another key piece coming back. 4 starters, most of the bench returns. This team's another team where it's experience over hype. And some of these small mid-major conferences like the Big Sky, that's sometimes all you need for a recipe for a very good year. And that should be the case at Weber State, hopefully. Shout out Dame. Hopefully Dame can catch a couple of games. But Weber State looking to be pretty good this year. Looking to be pretty good.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I think Weber State is overwhelmingly the favorite coming into this season. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some votes for Portland State or Eastern Washington, but I think Weber State is the cream of the crop heading into the season. And I read, you covered all the bases, but I did read an article on ESPN about Weber State and the way they were able to retain Dylan Jones. It was because of Dame. The reason they were able to keep Dylan Jones was because Dame. And they were saying how Dame was like, hey, if I can do good at Weber State, you can too. And let's leave a legacy there. And I was like, wow, okay. Like, that's crazy that, like, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and just looking at last year's rankings, we did not do a very good job in this conference. You had Northern Arizona 1, I had them 2. They finished 9th. We both had Northern Colorado at 3.
Hey, technically, they finished 2nd in the conference.
True. Okay, true. It's kind of – yeah, I mean, we go off just overall. So, that's fair.
No, I'm playing.
No, I know, but, like, I just want to let everyone know that, yeah, I mean, sure, it's based on – sure, conference standings are one thing, but when it's time for tournament time and people step up, that's respectable. And, that is all we got for today's episode. Next conference up, I forgot what it was because I forgot to load the tournament preview. Yeah, that sounds about right. Do I need to fact check you, or do you feel confident?
I'd love for you to fact check me and say
I'm going to fact check you anyways. Yeah, you're correct. Good job. Big South's up next. What did you say?
I know I'm correct.
Okay. Well, you weren't correct earlier, so I had to double check you.
This is also another thing I'm correct about. Dylan Jones, All-American.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a big take, and that's a big take early in this conference preview season. There's a lot more coming, don't you worry. Good episode today, and number 3 down of 32. As you know, we have a long way to go, but we're just getting started. The fun's about to begin come November 6th, and it's coming up. And like I said, like you reminded me, it's 2 months, not 3. So, yay, college basketball is coming back soon. But a lot of good stuff. We could talk about it, but a lot of good stuff going on. College football, I said this last episode too, but, it's really the reality that the good sports coming back. And, like I said, I'm all for baseball and stuff, but I want to see college basketball back. I want to see college football back. I want to see the NFL back. I want to see the NBA back. And it's coming soon, but good time for sports. So, any closing thoughts for you?
Yeah, all the new sports coming back is super exciting. Obviously, for us, we're most excited for college basketball, or maybe for you, but there is one more thing that is more exciting, and that is winning our fantasy football league this year.
True. Yeah, we're big into fantasy football. I've been in this league for a while. This is your, what, third year now?
Third year.
I gotta
redeem myself from the performance last year. We don't talk about this on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm 2-0 against men in terms of overall success in the league. So shout out to me. He claims he wants big things this year. We'll see if that happens. But I like my team as well. But
we did make a trade. Shout out to us for making a trade.
Sure, we did make a trade. It was a very good trade for both sides. So happy the RTM can collaborate and both improve our teams. But Yeah, we'll keep you updated on that stuff. That's just a little side note as we could progress through this college basketball and conference preview season. But like I said, Big South up next. Excited for that one. Big South always has a team that can make some noise. We saw that last year with UNC Asheville and Drew Pember, who is coming back, right?
Yeah, we'll cover him now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving a little preview. I believe he's coming.
You might as well say he's gonna be a preseason player. I might go out and say he can be an
Of
All-American too.
course,
We'll see what happens.
you would. But yeah, that is all we got for today's episode. We thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.